This is season 5 of Sadie's Divorced and Happy podcast, where I talk about life after divorce with a playful perspective. Are you seeking more adventure? Are you excited to explore your own self-care and sensuality? Do you long for laughter and a cheeky fun approach to post-divorce dating? Then join me for today's episode to refresh and recharge your life after divorce. Can you believe it is May 1st already? Which means that Mother's Day is just around the corner. Well, actually, it's 12 days from now, but you know, who's counting? Well, actually, I'm counting because I've decided to serve up some special episodes for the next couple of weeks for my divorced sister from another mister. And if you're a guy listening today, you're always welcome to the Sadie's Divorced and Happy Party. But today's episode is geared a little bit more for the divorced lady. But don't worry, divorced dad, because your special episode will come next month around Father's Day. And even if you're not a dad, you're really going to like that episode. Trust me. I know. Ooh, the suspense. What do you think I'm going to talk about? You'll have to wait and see. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Today, I am joined by the one and only Kate Anthony. She's a former actress. She's an author, superstar podcaster, and divorce coach. She's dishing on all the reasons why flying solo is the ultimate choice for her right now. This does not mean that Kate is anti-relationships and she still dates from time to time, but she is really relishing the single life. Can you relate to this? Does this resonate? Well, in this conversational episode, Kate shares how her healing journey has led her to embrace the solo life like a boss and how you can do the same. So grab your drink of choice and let's kick off this candid, chewy chat about happiness and fulfillment in the single life after divorce with Kate's two spicy facts.
Two spicy facts.
Oh, I am here with Kate and I am so excited to discuss being single by choice. I have like so many questions. I've been thinking about this topic for a while now, so I'm so glad we can chat about it today.
I'm excited, but
we're going to get warmed up, Kate, with two spicy facts because I know you have some juicy ones to share with me and the listener.
Okay, I do have two. Okay, so the first one is that I'm obsessed with like inappropriate cross stitches. I think they're hilarious because they're like, one of the first ones I saw was my friend who had "Please don't do coke in the bathroom" in like this beautiful like Home Sweet Home cross stitch. And I like about died. And now like you can get them everywhere. They're, you know, you can get them on Etsy and all of that. And I'm obsessed with them. And I would like to have an entire bathroom full of completely inappropriate cross stitches. And I currently have two.
Okay. And so is that a hint, Kate, that maybe, you know, a listener could like send that to you if she or he was feeling so inspired. You know, my listeners are pretty spicy, Kate, so just get ready. Buckle up. They might send you something
very memorable.
I'm
just saying. I have two. One of them says, enjoy your stupid life, and it's right by the light switch. And then the other one says, free hugs. Just kidding. Don't touch me.
That's such a Midwestern thing, because I know you grew up on the East Coast. And that's such a Midwestern thing, the cross stitching. You know, with the craft shows around Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah. Reminds me of my childhood.
That's what I love about it is it's this complete juxtaposition of snarky with, you know, done in like cross stitch with, you know, flowers and whatever. That's why I'm obsessed with it. Okay. So spicy fact number two is that for the first 30 years of my life, I was an actor. And my career as an actor was, you know, multi-layered. But I started it with 5 years on Sesame Street.
Oh, wow.
And I ended it with 5 years on Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh, and quick, like, talk about juxtaposition.
I know, right? Nice bookends.
So where's the cross stitch really for that, Kate? I want to know the cross right? stitch for that. Yeah.
So there is actually cute video out there of it. But you know, on my time on Grey's Anatomy, I did work a lot with McDreamy. Mm-hmm. And Patrick and I had a very like appropriate, totally not line crossing, but very flirtatious and hilarious dynamic and chemistry. And so when we would work together, it was hilarious and very flirty and very fun.
Did he smell good? I bet he smelled good. Did he smell good?
I don't remember, okay. But he sure looked good.
I bet the smell and the looks align. I'm just going to say it.
I mean, just I don't shot know in the that dark I there. Necessarily got close enough to smell him, but it, you know, he was great. He was great. We had a blast. We had a blast.
I love those spicy facts. And I love how that's a great segue to this topic because we're talking about McDreamy and now we're going to talk about being single by choice. So he just turned you off. You're like, forget it. McDreamy, I don't need you. I'm over
I don't, I mean, I'm open, but I think he's still married. So, you know.
Oh, I hope he shoots a shot if he ever gets divorced. I hope he shoots a shot with you.
Listen.
So, I know, right? So single by choice. So, okay. Like I said, I have a whole list of burning questions here. So first of all, for the listener who, you know, maybe isn't familiar with, because this is kind of a I want to say trend, but it's a topic. Like I Googled single by choice and there's a lot of people talking about this topic or this preference. Okay. So I want to hear from you. Like, what does it mean to you to be single by choice?
I mean, I think to me, it means, well, first of all, I think I want to clarify it a little bit. The door is not closed. So it's not that I am not open to it or that I'm not like, you know, eventually willing to be in a relationship. I would love to be in a relationship at some point. However, I'm very much perfectly happy and fine on my own. And I used to be a person who I'm not even kidding. When I was in my 20s, if I didn't have plans for the night, I would have a panic attack. I could not be alone. Could not. And so now I'm like hard pressed to be around people. I'm kind of hard pressed to get out of the house. And so really it has to be worth my time. But there was a period of time where I was not on the dating apps. I was not looking. I was 100% focused on my career, myself, and my child. Right. I wanted to focus completely on my son and myself, and that was it. And I didn't need or want any distractions from that. And, you know, I was fine. And then over time, it just kind of got to the place where I was like, yeah, I'm really fine. And if anyone is going to come into my life, they better add something tremendous to it.
I think a lot of women can resonate with this. The male listener, I'll be so curious what he has to say about this topic. Because when I was Googling this, Kate, you know what? It didn't really talk about men. I feel like men in society have always been given permission to enjoy their bachelor life or being single and not maybe having the same pressure like women, at least from our generation, because you're a Gen Xer like I am. I think we're the same age-ish around.
Yeah, I'm 53.
Yeah, I'm 51. So, yeah. You know, I think as women, we've always had this pressure to be in relationship. I mean, we're such relational creatures anyway, right? Uh-huh. And so I remember as a little girl, like, you know, I'd play wedding with my Barbies and I would, you know, when I was a teenager, I'd dream about my wedding and always having this focus of I had to have this outcome. And then obviously, this is a podcast about life after divorce. Hi, you and I are both divorced. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So do you think for you, because I know I can speak for myself and my listener already probably knows the answer to this, but do you think for you that your divorce was the catalyst? We're like, wow, I'm good. I'm feeling myself. I'm happy by myself. Or was it something more than that?
Yes. I think it was beyond that, right? Because when I first got divorced, I was like, well, obviously I'm going to find my next husband in the next couple of years. It was just a given. Like, of course I would.
May I ask how old you were when you got divorced?
I've been divorced for 15 years now.
Okay. So you were in your 30s.
I was 38.
Okay. Okay.
I was 38. And let me tell you, I was spicy. I was hot. Well, what was interesting was that, you know, my husband never thought so. So I hadn't had sex in so long. And so when I finally got out of my marriage, you know, the first thing that I realized was like, he would always tell me that I wasn't a sexual being. That was his line. You're not a sexual being. Turns out.
Spoiler alert, listener. Right?
Spoiler. I was not the problem. I was a very sexual being, and I learned to discover it in the years, you know, probably the first 5 years after my divorce, which was in the time that I was hanging out with McDreamy, by the way. I was discovering that not only was I attractive and viable, I was sexy, I was hot, I was actually really fucking good in bed, and all the things that I was made to feel that I was not, right? And so to have somebody like Patrick Dempsey flirting with me and like making me feel like I was like Patrick fucking Dempsey, like give me a break.
The universe right? was smiling on you. I like that, how the universe aligned that for you, that you, after your
Wasn't
divorce.
That nice?
Yes, that was,
yeah,
that's
right.
lovely.
The universe was like, hello.
Right, exactly.
Here is a sex symbol from your childhood who thinks you're pretty hot. You know, and like, and again, no lines were crossed. Don't want anyone to believe that. But, you know, so the first 5 years were really about reclaiming myself as a sexual being and having a lot of fun. And then it was like, okay, now let's find the guy, right? And there was a lot of focus on that until I really was the more I focused on my business and building my business and my practice, the less I really cared, the less energy I was really giving to it. And it was really the more I was filling myself up, the less I felt like I really needed, quote, a man to fulfill me, which, as you pointed out, like we are basically taught from a very young age as women, especially Gen X, that we our worth is dependent upon whether we're attached, what man we're attached to, basically. And so to be unattached and say, actually, I don't really care, is pretty radical. And I think what's interesting about, you know, on the one hand, men are never asked this, right? Never, men are never like, they're never, very rarely are people like, well, when are you getting married? Or, you know, and, or there is, but there's that single, like your single friend that you're going to like, you're going to set them up. But once men experience, this is my experience and research on this, is that once men experience being partnered, they don't go back. And once they get unpartnered, they will repartner very quickly because we fulfill so many roles in their lives. We make their lives so much easier. Men are more successful when they have wives at home. They don't have to do, you know, the domestic labor, all of the labor that we do and pick up is, you know, pretty intense. And so once they sort of get a taste of that, they're like, oh, well, shit, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live alone anymore. Hold on a second. Let me get me another one. And it's really easy for them. It's really easy for men to repartner.
It is, because women are, I think partly because women are so conditioned to be in relationship. I think if mm-hmm. women had the conditioning of men from, you know,
yeah.
age zero on up, I think it could be different. But
yeah,
we're just very trained to be good partners.
Yes, we are. We're amazing at it.
Right.
And it's, you know, to our detriment, right? And then I think once we get out and we get a taste of what it's like to be on the other side and to not have to do all that labor and not have to, like, you know, be their therapist and care for their emotions and like all of that stuff. Like once we get on the other side and we realize that, like, oh, that actually was not filling my cup, that was draining me, we're kind of less inclined to go back in.
Right? For me, you know, I have friends that really resonate with this. I resonate with this mm-hmm. a lot. And I'm sure the listener, you know, if the listener is a woman listening, possibly feels the same. But yeah. For me, it's more like you said, you know, adding the value or being significant. And I think for me, that's not even around material things, because we're set, we're good. You know, women our age, we have careers, you know, we're educated, we're set on that. I think for me, it's more like friendship or partnership, in the sense of, is this someone I can talk to? Is this someone that I can actually go deeper with? And for me, then it's more of like, I don't use the word scarcity. That's a bad word, but it feels limited. It feels, that's where I struggle more, because again, Kate, I just think men aren't, I'm going to totally get some pushback by my male listener. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. But I just don't think men are given the same permissions as women are to talk about feelings and things that make us such relational beings. So my discovery after divorce is, this is just like a cultural issue, where that's why I think women at our age after divorce are like, yeah, I'm good. I got my girlfriends, I got my kids, I got my career, I got my freedom. Yeah. I can do what I want. I have my own money. You know, I mean, I just jetted off to Denver a few weeks ago, living my best life, doing whatever I wanted. I'm like, why would I want to not ever not do this? But then, Kate, here's, okay, so this is what I'm curious to know. And I think this is a valid question. There is a part of me that I like sex very much. Uh-huh. And, you know, I like dating in the sense of like the male-female energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if I could, I think I'm on the fence. Like, I like being single, but I don't know if I'd want to like never, I know I never.
Sure. Not,
but then it's how do you sit with all of this? I think that was one reason I was so curious to have this conversation, because I am content. I have a good life, all these things, but yet I still want this type of connection. Yes. And then absolutely. I feel part of me, because I have friends just like you. They love their single life. They look at me like, what's wrong with you? Why do you want to be dating? Like, you should be so happy being single. And then I feel like, well, but I'm a mammal, and mammals are relational beings. So I...
Of course, yes.
I struggle. So,
my version of single by choice is not like, I am single, and therefore I am like, and I'm single forever, and that's it. Like, I choose never to be with a man again. Like, that is not my version of single by choice. My version is, I am single until something extraordinary comes up, like extraordinary. And it's gotta add so much value to my life. And I've dated I haven't been in a relationship for 7 years, and I dated a ton for, you know, 7 years before that. And so I've kind of been there.
We want to know what a ton means, but you're like, a ton.
Okay. Listen, been there, done that. I mean, like, post-divorce, getting to know yourself is so amazing. And this is why, like, I'm like, do not get into the first relationship. First of all, it never lasts, right? The first relationship after, right out the gate, like, that's not going to do anything.
Right. But it's fun to be dating.
But learn who you are.
Totally.
The exploration is fun. It's fascinating. There's no better way to get to know yourself after a divorce. But my version is that, like, I've done all the dating. I've done the, you know, relationships that I thought were going to be the one, blah, blah, blah. And now I've done me, and I continue to do me. And if someone, and I've started dating again recently, and, you know, so far, like, very nice people, fine, but not the person that I'm going to end up with. And I'm very clear about that very quickly. I just know myself well enough, and I am confident and secure enough in myself to say, like, oh, that doesn't work for me, and not wait to be chosen, right? I'm now the one doing the choosing, and I am completely content to be alone if that is the outcome, ultimately. I live in Los Angeles, and the dating pool here for men my age is really, 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 really narrow, because most men who get divorced around my age are dating much younger women.
Oh, exactly.
They don't necessarily want to be dating a woman in her 50s. Like, that's not... So for me, it's also like, well, you know, my pickings are pretty slim out here. You know, if that's the case, then, like, okay, fine. I'm good. I'm fine.
How do you?
So I feel like there's a difference. Yeah. Like there's a difference between, right, single by choice and single by I'm not compromising my standards.
Totally resonate. I think this is like a common theme for a lot of women where we're wanting something extraordinary. But I have had a lot of conversations with different dating coaches. And, you know, what I can hear them say in this moment is, well, that's not realistic. Good luck to you and enjoy yourself is what I can hear them saying.
I have a lot of friends who are dating coaches, too, and they wouldn't. And I don't think they would say that because they also know that I've spent 25 years doing really hard work on myself. And I know myself. This is not an avoidant strategy. It's discernment. I know myself well enough to know. I'm not saying that I stopped dating people after one date because, you know, it's not extraordinary. I'm actually not looking for fireworks and butterflies. Like, that is not what I mean by extraordinary at all.
What do you mean then? I think that'd be helpful to know.
Yeah, because the fireworks and the butterflies, usually that is a sign of actually anxiety and that you recognize something possibly toxic from your past, from a history. So that is not what I'm looking for at all. I'm looking for somebody who, like you said, like I can actually really talk to, that I can have meaningful conversations, that has the same values that I do, that is on the same intellectual level that I am, who's had, you know, similar life experiences. I prefer to date someone who is divorced with kids because that is an experience that we share. I've also found that men of my age, certainly, who have never been married and never have children, have never had to live life for anyone other than themselves. So there's a little Peter Pan stuff mm-hmm. happening there.
Right.
And so, you know, these are, I mean, I don't think these are unreasonable sort of markers for me about what would make something extraordinary, right? But there are just certain things that I need to line up that I won't compromise. And that's not the same as being avoidant or picky, I don't think.
No, that's super helpful that you were able to explain what that meant to you. I think that will help the listener.
Yeah.
So for the listener today who's like, wow, I really want to get to where Kate is. You know, I really want to get to this place where, you know, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I'm good. What would you recommend or encourage?
You know, it's so hard because I've spent, like I said, 25 years doing really intense work on myself. And that started with 12-step work. It moved into other forms of personal development and a lot of therapy, a lot of recovery work. In particular, for me, codependency recovery was a really huge piece of this for me because I was so love addicted. I needed a man. Okay. I needed somebody to complete me. I now no longer need that. And so now I'm choosing. I get to choose. And I was never at choice before. So I think there are lots of things that you can do. I think the most important thing is to find out what your thing is and really work on healing, whether that's codependency recovery. I highly recommend Pia Melody's book called Facing Codependence. I think it's one of the best books ever written on codependence and trauma, healing from trauma. And because it's really about complex trauma and childhood stuff. Yeah, but really find out what your thing is and lean into it. Like lean into the healing work. Please don't avoid it. It's not, you know, it's like the more you shove stuff under the rug, then you're just like there on a lumpy rug, right? And you've got no solid foundation. So build that solid foundation. And then I firmly, fully believe that you will attract exactly what you need when you need it. And some of those will be really hard lessons and some of them will be beautiful lessons and beautiful life experiences. But I think we have to do the work, the healing work.
And I think it's ongoing too, because it's
never
not as if you read a book or you go to a therapist for 2 years and you're good to go. I think relationships can also, if it's a healthy relationship, can help with that healing process because someone can be consistent, someone can be kind, someone can be thoughtful, someone can listen and ask questions, right? I mean, my experience is when I've done my own work more so after my divorce and I'm attracted to a different type of person. Recently, I'm all about the nice guy, you know, like the nice, you know that show Schitt's Creek, Kate?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Of course.
Right? You know who the character Ted?
Yes.
Yes. I'm like, like that energy where he's so nice. That scene where Alex is like, you're the nicest person I've ever met. I'm like, I want to say that about the person I'm dating. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're like
that's right.
The nicest person I've ever met. new dating goals for me because of my own work.
Right? Right. And, you know, there was a time, of course, where you, me, probably most women are listening, like, we didn't want that. That was gross. That was boring. We want the bad boy, right? We want, because in fairness, like that's, you know, our subconscious, we think we want to if they change for us, then that makes us special, right? That makes us feel really special, but it doesn't happen. And even if they do,
it never happens.
And by the way, I had one, you know, super avoidant, you know, disorganized attachment, really chaotic. And he was like, you know, women have tried for years to unlock my heart. And I would always be like, good luck. But here you are. And you've completely opened me up. And, you know, and I've never felt love like this before. Disaster of a relationship. Disaster.
I'm not surprised. Zero skills. Right. But yeah, I'm not surprised.
I mean, zero skills in being in a relationship, was super avoidant, totally chaotic. I mean, it was a nightmare. It was a trauma bond. It was a nightmare. So, you know, even if they do change for you, beware. Run.
So you're on this journey where you've done mm-hmm. your work and you mm-hmm. are finding that your attraction to who you're attracted to has changed and shifted. Your focus has shifted. What else for the listener who's like, gosh, I really want to be more content with being single.
I mean, I think it really is like find your thing, whether that is meditation, like any way that you can drop in and actually listen and hear your authentic self speaking through, whatever that practice is, it could be meditating, it could be, you know, working out, right? I recommend doing something that focuses your brain without distractions, right? Like, don't take a podcast with you every time you go for a walk. Don't put in music every time you work out. Like, actually just be present with yourself in some way at some point during the day and learn to drop in and ask yourself, just be in touch with yourself, that higher part of yourself, about like, what is it? What do I want? Who am I? What are my values? Especially when you've been in a marriage for so long and you've been sort of part of this union, and now you are an individual, you're really not just who was I? It's really who am I now? You're different. You're cellularly different. If you've had kids, everything is different. And you're not the same person that you were when you went in. So let's start a process, not just of rediscovery, but of discovery and curiosity. And when you go on a date with somebody, part of the process is curiosity about the other person. But so often we forget the curiosity for ourselves first.
Yes, I was just going to say that. I love that. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how to do that very well, to be curious about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time, I describe myself as a head on legs, right? I had no access to the groundedness, my heart, my spirit, my gut, right? All of it, everything that was between my legs and my neck, I had no access to. And it's a long process. And also, when you have experienced trauma in a marriage, I was in a very abusive, emotionally abusive marriage. And so the process of disconnecting from self was really important for my preservation. And even if you're not in an abusive marriage, if you're unhappy in your marriage, disconnecting from your intuition that's saying something's wrong is an act of preservation, because like, oh my God, like, what does that mean? So if you spend any period of time disconnecting from self, the first thing that I think we should do is start to reconnect with that. And however, like, go to yoga, something that slows you down, something that drops you in, you know, going to, you know, I don't know, meditation meetings or 12-step meetings, something, anything that connects you to self is, I think some, because then when you're on dates, right, you actually... No, you're listening. You know, I remember when I first started dating, and I was dating some really fucking weird people, like really weird guys. And I would just be, all I would talk about in therapy was like whether he likes me, whether he called, whether he didn't. And you know, I was just divorced. I wasn't really working. All my time and focus was like waiting for men to choose me. And my therapist finally said, you know, you're really concerned about whether or not these guys like you. Let me ask you something. Do you like them? And I was so, so obvious and basic, right? But I was like, huh. And I thought about it and I was like, no, I do not. But I didn't, like, if I don't have the self to ask, right? If I'm not have the self to check in with, how am I going to know?
What I'm really hearing and what I resonate with, and I'll be curious what the listener has to say, is just that comfort with your own company. And just in the last couple of years for me, I have grown to be much more comfortable with my own company, because I resonated when you were talking earlier in our chat here about when you were in your 20s and you just, to be alone on a Friday night would just be horror. And I remember feeling that way, right? Or just like constantly calling someone or constantly. And so for me, it is, I think one, just to add to your list, Kate, of things that the listener could do, I journal a lot. Because that really helps me connect with where I'm at, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what's on my mind. And that has really helped me learn so much more about myself. And I see it now as like this fun little thing I get to do all by myself. I mean, nobody else is going to be journaling with me. So it's just my thing to do. So it's like, find your thing to do by yourself. What is that? I think that's a great note.
And journaling is great. Journaling first thing in the morning is a great exercise too, because it, you know, if you do it before anything, if you like roll over and grab your journal, you're still halfway in that unconscious dream state where you're working shit out, right? You're working it out in your unconscious. And so it's, you're that much closer to it if you start journaling first thing in the morning, and it's surprising what comes up in that place for sure.
Do you ever get questions from friends or family asking you why are you single? I mean, you're Kate Anthony. Like, what's up?
No, they get it. Okay. There are some people that are like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, sure. You know, it doesn't make sense in that, you know, I'm fabulous. I'm wonderful, of course, right? But again, like, I'm actually doing the choosing now. And it's, believe me, I have a line of suitors out the door. It would be so much easier because I don't like to leave my house. And so if they would just come to my door, it would actually be easier.
And bring treats. They could bring some treats with them.
Bring some tea, bring some flowers. It'd be great. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny is that, because in my earlier years, I was like a serial monogamist. I was always in a relationship. I was always dating. Like, I was never single. And everyone was always like, you need to learn who you are, and you need to take time for yourself, and you should focus on your career, and you should da, 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 da. And now, like, you know, my parents are like, hey. And I'm like, look, you're the ones who told me I could not do this.
I'm just
like,
doing what you told me to do.
It's been a while. So now it's time to maybe, you know, hurry up. You can't win. But that's the thing, right? You're a woman, so you can't win.
But it's internally, you can be winning. Maybe not, you know,
totally.
What the world that's has right. to say, but internally.
What the world has to say. Exactly. Right. I mean, look, like I said, I am open and I'm willing and I'm hopeful.
All right. The divorced dad listener, did you hear that? Kate is
open. Hey, dads. Willing. I'm open, willing, and hopeful.
I love it. All right. You are such a delicious conversationalist. I know we could go on and on and on, but I want to thank you for being part of this episode, for part of season 5. And, you know, I'm all about focusing also on dreaming more, like having beyond goals, like dreams after divorce. And I just love how you have made some dreams come true for yourself. You're an accomplished author. You have an award-winning podcast. You've done big things since divorce, Kate. So
I have
given you
high
fives
here. Thank you, Sadie.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy for you.
Thank you for saying that.
And I want the listener to know that he or she can be dreaming. And, you know, still we can keep going after our dreams, even after divorce.
Yes. And sometimes they're brand new dreams. Like, if you had told me before I got married that I was going to end up being a divorce coach and running an online business, first of all, like, you know, the internet wasn't really a thing before I got married, so never mind that. I would be like, what are you talking about? And so this sort of speaks to that you are not necessarily reclaiming yourself. You are inventing. You get to invent whatever you want from this point forward. You get to say, and that's fun.
That's wonderful. It's empowering. I'm seeing your beautiful office and these books behind you. And I know you just wrote an amazing book. Can you share a bit about that before we say our goodbyes?
Yes, it's called The D Word, Making the Ultimate Decision About Your Marriage. And it's really a roadmap for helping women decide whether to stay or go. So if you guys are listening and you've already on the other side or you're, you know, gotten divorced, you know that divorce is like contagious, that, you know, if you were one of the first in your friendship group, then like people are starting to go after you.
They're this curious. Is the book you want to give curious. Your friends. Yeah.
They get divorced curious, yeah, they right? Do. They're mm-hmm. suddenly you have put a mirror up to their relationship and they're going, huh. And so if you know women in your life who are struggling and really, you know, the person who keeps calling you to complain about their relationship, get them my book. It'll really help. And it also helps, I think, in the post-divorce for people to actually understand a lot of what may have happened.
And how can they find your book and your podcast?
Oh, they can find me and everything on my website, which is kateanthony.com. And I'm over on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. And my podcast is The Divorce Survival Guide Podcast. And my book is everywhere books are sold.
Well, cheers to you and your journey and where you're at. Single by choice. I'm leaning in. Thanks again, Kate, for being on the podcast today.
Thanks so much.
Soteria is named after a goddess, meaning deliverance and protection while transitioning through difficult times. If you're looking for a lighthearted way to support and cheer someone through a divorce, consider Soteria pins. 10% of the sales of these charming and cheeky enamel pins goes to domesticshelters.org. Visit soteriapins.com. All right, I am going to mix it up today, and I'm going to ask you a burning question. I haven't done this in a long time, so here is my burning question. What does it really mean to you to be divorced and happy? What does that really mean to you? I would love for you to share your answer. You can DM me on Instagram at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. You can leave me a message on Facebook or TikTok, or you can be really old school and email me at sadie@divorcedandhappy.net. And I will share your answer possibly in a future podcast. So I want to know, what does it mean to you to be divorced and happy? I know I am extra happy because this coming weekend, I was just in Denver and now I'm going to be in DC and I'm going to have some divorced and happy meetup events and I've never done them in DC before. So I'm extra excited. So if you live in the DMV, I would love for you to make it to one of these events and you can learn more when you go to the show notes after this episode. Just click the link that says DC meetup group and you can RSVP there to the events. If you do not live in DC and you want to have a divorced and happy meetup in your city, reach out to me again on Instagram, email me. I would love to see how we can make that happen. Okay, next week is an extra fun, playful episode. I'm excited to drop it right before Mother's Day. And here's a little clue. Just because you are divorced does not mean that you cannot indulge. And so this episode is about a very, very creative way to indulge. And sometimes maybe you call people this or you call yourself this word that starts with a B and sometimes ends with an E or sometimes ends with two E's. What am I talking about? What will the topic be about? I know, fun, right? You'll have to tune in next week for another new episode of Sadie's Divorced and Happy Podcast. And I look forward to connecting with you then. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, and be sure to treat yourself by subscribing to the podcast. If today's show gave you a boost, consider giving us some love with a 5-star rating and an enticing review. Interact with Mike and me all season long on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Pinterest at Sadie's Divorced and Happy. Looking for an affordable and effective way to market your services and products? Consider sponsoring the podcast. Email contact@divorcedandhappy.net to learn more about our sponsorship opportunities. Join us next Wednesday for more delicious life after divorce fun.